Welcome to TF1 conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Philippe Denery, CFO. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will start by giving you information on revenue and results for the first quarter 2011, then I will be glad to answer your questions. Let's first have a look at the financial results. Over the first three months of 2011, TF1 Group consolidated revenue was up by 2.9% at 614 million euro. The sector breakdown is as follows. Broadcasting France revenue grew by 4.1% to 499 million euro, with advertising revenue for the TF1 core channel decreasing by 2.6% to 353 million euros. Advertising revenue suffered from a difficult macroeconomic environment as well as a tough basis of comparison. Over the first three months of 2011, volumes remained stable as compared to growth of 24% for the same period last year. All-day tariffs increased and gross advertising revenue was up by 3.3% over the first quarter. In addition, January and February being generally weaker months in terms of advertising spend, an attractive pricing policy was put in place by the airtime sales agency to support demand. Home shopping activities decreased by 3.9% to 30 million euro. The growth in e-commerce activities didn't fully offset a seasonal change in product mix. Film channels grew by 49.4% to 75 million euros, mainly due to TMC and NT1. On a like-for-like basis, film channel revenue increased by 5.6%, the additional revenue from the consolidation of TMC and NT1 representing 22 million euros. Subscriber revenue grew by 1.3% and advertising revenue for film channels increased strongly from 25 million to 45 million, mainly due to the performance of TMC and NT1 and to their full consolidation. TF1 Entreprise generated 17.2% growth in revenue to 8 million euro thanks to continued partnerships with successful artists, music and shows, and new activities such as automotocompare.fr. TF1 Film Production and TF1 Production revenue grew by 54.9% to 8 million euros. TF1 Production produced successful entertainment shows over the first quarter, and TF1 Film Production has launched six movies since the beginning of the year, which is two more than last year. Four out of those six movies attract more than 1 million viewers, with the movie Rien à déclarer reaching more than 8 million. ETF1 revenues were up by 14.2% at 20 million euros. Despite a slight decrease for the interactivity business, with fewer entertainment shows broadcast during Q1 2011 as compared to the same period last year, revenue growth was achieved through the distribution of MyTF1 and a 48.6% growth in web advertising revenue, especially for online videos. Other activities, mainly airtime sales agency fees, increased by almost 1 million to 5 million euros. Next is audiovisual rights, whose revenue at 29 million euros are down by 10.5% as compared to the first quarter last year. TF1 audiovisual rights revenue was down by 9 million euros, explained by the fact that fewer movies were released than last year and fewer catalog products were sold. For TF1 Video, revenue increased by 32.9% thanks to the success of the present lineup and the growth of the kiosk and VOD activities. International broadcasting revenue grew by 0.6% to 85 million euro. Advertising revenue decreased by 2.2% due to the non-recurrence of exceptional sport events such as last year's Winter Olympics and the Africa Cup of Nations. This was more than offset by subscriber revenue, which was up by 3% for the first three months of this year thanks to growth in Eastern European countries and Turkey and strong performances from Eurosport 2 in the same regions. Finally, other activities comprising Mille-et-Une List, which was sold in early February, and SPS, which was sold at the beginning of May, generated €2 million of revenue. The revenue generated exclusively by SPS is to be compared with the €1 million of revenue generated by Mille-et-Une List a year ago. Now let's look at operating results. In the first quarter of 2011, TF1 Group operating profit was €62 million, an €18 million increase over Q1 2010. This performance was achieved through fine-tuning programming costs for the TF1 core channel and tight control over operating costs for the diversification despite the 2.1% like-for-like increase in revenue and the consolidation of the operating expenses of TMC and T1 following the acquisition of additional equity interests and non-recurring charges on SPS. Net depreciation, amortization and provisions amount to €40 million, an €18 million increase over the last year for two main reasons: higher provision for programs depending on the expected screening and restructuring charges mainly on SPS. The breakdown by sector shows an improvement for all of them at operating level. Operating profit for Broadcasting France was €62 million, compared to €39 million for the first quarter 2010. The operating profit of the core channel improved from €32 million to €43 million. Over the first 3 months of this year, TF1 core channel programming costs were at €205 million, a decrease of €17.4 million compared to the same period last year. Those savings were due to savings on sports program, some programs being brought forward, and the continued optimization of programming schedules to reflect seasonal trends. All the subsidiaries, except Home Shopping, which reported lower revenue, have generated operating profit growth, mainly due to the optimization of their cost structures. Theme channels contribute €5 million to this growth, thanks to a strong increase in advertising revenue and the impact of the consolidation of TMC and NT1. Audiovisual rights are at break-even compared to a loss of €5 million last year for the same period. The drop in revenue at the catalogue business was offset by cost control, and the improving video business led to a slight operating profit. The international broadcasting division gained €5 million of operating profit a year on year, with a quarterly operating profit of €10 million. This improved result can be explained by a constant effort on costs and the non-recurrence of last year's major sports events. Other activities generated a loss of €11 million, due entirely to SPS, as compared to a €4 million profit in Q1 2010. Over the first 3 months, net profit was €48 million. Cost of net debt decreased significantly from €5 million to zero, as the group had a positive cash position. Other financial income and expenses amounted to minus €1 million compared to plus €1 million for the same period last year, mainly due to remeasurement of currency hedges. Income tax expense was €11 million, the increase in taxable profit being offset by a tax gain on the sale of SPS. Associated contributed a loss of €1 million compared to a profit of €4 million last year, same period, as TF1's 33.5% stake in the AB Group is no longer accounted for as an associated but carried as a non-current financial asset in the balance sheet. The financial structure of the TF1 Group is very sound, with positive net cash of €133 million compared to €17 million on December 31st, 2010. Here are the key points for us. Regarding audiences, the core channel reached 24.2% on individuals and 27.5% on women under 50 over the first quarter of 2011. Prime time remained strong, with an average of 6.6 million TV viewers over the same period, and the TF1 channel had the top 50 rating over the quarter. In April, audience shares were lower. Two programs performed less well than expected, so we discontinued or modified them. It is important to underline that there is no desire to cut our spending on programming costs. TF1 intends to go on offering strong and diversified content. However, it will keep taking into account seasonal trends as it did in Q1. In terms of advertising, Q1 was in line with our expectations. Concerning April, advertising revenues were on the same trend as Q1 due to the latest macroeconomic events and weaker than expected audiences. For May and June, we have no worries and we remain confident given that advertisers are convinced of the efficiency of TV and of TF1's mass media power. However, the situation requires caution as the global macroeconomic environment remains unclear and has reinforced volatility on the advertising market. Third key element, overall advertising revenue for the group increased by €17 million to €419 million for the first 3 months of 2011, thanks to good performances of online video advertising and increased investment in DTT channels, which is encouraging and confirming the strategy which has been followed during the last couple of years. Indeed, TMC and NT1 performed well, with respectively 3.4% and 1.6% of audience share for individuals. TMC remains the leading channel on DTT and obtained the highest audience of all DTT channels in February, with more than 2 million TV viewers for the movie Dirty Dancing. Moreover, NT1 has significantly increased its audience share on women under 50 from 1.4% to 2.1%. Thanks to those performances, the TF1 group achieved audience share of 29.2% for individuals and 33.2% for women below 50 over the first quarter of this year. Pay TV remained successful. Eurosport France recorded an increased number of subscribers. TV Brez confirmed its leadership in cable and satellite offerings and is showing good resistance in an ever more competitive environment. LCI has successfully refreshed its editorial line. We are currently in the process of renegotiating the distribution of our channels, given that our exclusive contract for the distribution of those channels with Groupe Canal expire next December. The rebound strategy between the core channel and the different screens is still showing strong results, with 128 million video viewed over the first 3 months of this year. Launched at the end of January, TF1 iPhone and iPad applications have already been downloaded more than 1 million times. As I told you earlier, in addition to Bouygues Telecom and Orange routers, MyTF1 continues to expand and is now also distributed on Free Telecom. The rationalization of diversification activities started 3 years ago is still underway, as we focus on our core businesses. Mille et une liste, the movie catalog TCM, and SPS, Eurosport Bet, have been sold. Costs are being controlled in order to enable us to pursue the continuing adaptation of our business model. We are now more flexible, and the 18 million growth in consolidated revenue are generated 18 million euro growth in operating profit, despite the 11 million euro non-recurrent loss on SPS. Operating margin has reached 10% for the group, compared to 7.3% for the same period last year, and 8.8% for full year 2010. We have improved the profitability of the group. Without the non-recurrent impact of SPS, operating profit for Q1 2011 would have been 72 million compared to 38 million last year. To conclude, I would say that the changes and flexibility introduced into our business model have again led to an improvement in profitability. Following April's audience trends, the internal reorganization, the change in the chain of management, and the change of the programming, I've shown the group's capacity to make decision and react quickly, and the long-term strategy of reinforcing the group position in DTT has shown to be a success in terms of audience, revenue, and profitability. Well, thank you again for having joined us tonight. Should you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask them. And I remind you that a replay for this conference call will be available. You will find the connection details on our website group, -gf1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. We have a question from Mr. Adrien de Saint-Hilaire from Exane BNP. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the question. Just coming back on ad trends, I think you were mentioning that April wasn't as trending as the first 3 months. So does that mean that April is down maybe 2.5%? First question. Second question, when you say you have no worries regarding May and June, can you give us some tangible evidence on that? Because I believe the fact that you were airing the World Cup will probably not help this year. The second question on thematic channels, do you think that you can maintain such a high level of profitability going forwards? And where did the improvement came from? Well, was it maybe NT1 being profitable? And lastly, on programming costs, once again, you've done a good job cutting costs by 9%. What shall we think for the next quarters? And maybe do you still guide on 950 million euros for 2011? Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your questions. I will just start with the first one. In April, the trend basically the same as we had during the first quarter, so the same range. That's what I can say. We have no worry, meaning that, of course, the volatility remains very high for May and June. It's true to say that we had the World Cup last year, while in the same time there are some flexibility in terms of or capacity in terms of volume, which make things a bit different as well. So altogether, as compared to what we had in terms of expectation and forecast beginning of the year, there is no specific update, there is no specific worry or change as compared to what we were expecting a few months ago. That's what I mean by no worry. But, of course, expectation and forecasts are taken into account. The fact that we don't have the World Cup, Football World Cup this year in June and July. On the third question, thematic channels, it's true to say that they benefit from a high level of profitability. We have put in place an organization in order to keep this kind of profitability. And all the integration of those two channels is performing quite well. We started beginning of July last year. Now it's nearly completed. We are very pleased with what has been done. We are on a model which will contribute to a good level of profitability. The programming costs are under control for the two channels. There should be and they will benefit from synergy on programming and on the existing rights of the group. The fourth question on programming costs, we have adapted our programming cost, as we have said previously, to the seasonal trend of the advertising market, and that is a reason why we have reached the level of cost savings during the first quarter. Of course, those are not recurrent for the other quarter of the year, and that's the reason why we kept for the guidance we gave in February, which is an average for the 2 years, 2011 and 2012, of 950 million euro. If we can do better, we'll do, but that's our guidance today.
Okay, if I can just add a follow-up. With April being down 2% or so on the core channel, do you think you can achieve flattish ad growth on TF1 and Q2, or does that sound too ambitious?
No, it wouldn't be reasonable to give you, due to the volatility of the market today, to give you any kind of figures or trend for May and June and for the second quarter. And we usually don't give any guidance quarter per quarter. I just can say again that we don't have worry, and it's in line with what we had forecast, and there is no specific surprise.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
We have a question from Mr. Conor O'Shea from Kepler, so please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Just three questions. First two on the advertising, if I may. I think you mentioned in your commentary that the first part of the year saw some aggressive commercial policies from your sales house because of the seasonally weaker months, particularly January, February. Does that mean in the second quarter we should expect the net ad revenues to be closer to the gross ad revenues? I think the difference in the first quarter was around 5%. That's the first question. Second question, I wonder if you have information relating to the second quarter last year in terms of monthly gross or net ad revenue growth at TF1 April, May, June. And then the third question, just on programming costs, I understand we're just reiterating the 950 million target, but with the changes that you've made in terms of head of programming and the relatively weak performance in terms of audience share in April, when, as I understand it, you would have expected stronger phasing of programming investment, is that a commitment that you can say 100% at this stage, or will it be reviewed as the new person in charge of programs settles into his role?
Well, just to answer first your third question, we confirm and the guidance is 950. Jean-François Lancelier, which is now in charge of programming, has been with the company for years, more than 10 years. He has been, of course, involved in the management of the grid for years. So we can confirm the guidance. And again, we confirm as well that there is no question of these investments, but, of course, we will use the resources in order to optimize the programming we will broadcast in the next few months.
Okay.
Concerning advertising, your question was the first question. Sorry, was net? It's good to say that for Q2 the net should be, yes, closer to the growth, and that is part of the reason of the guidance we gave. It's included in the guidance. Yes.
Okay.
So the question, the answer is yes.
Okay.
And Q2, the demand is traditionally higher, so that makes it easier to take more value and to bring back value during a Q2 than Q1. That's what I wanted to express.
Okay.
When I mentioned that there was incentive on price during the first quarter to keep the volume at the level which has been reached last year for the same period of time.
Okay.
Now, your question on Q2 to 2010, I just would say that volumes were good and positive, and that there was some sponsorship was high because of the Football Cup. That is the trend we had last year during Q2. But we would have probably some impact on the sponsoring, but volume were good.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Filippo Lofranco from JP Morgan. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, really congratulations for your operating performance, and in particular on the programming cost. I have three questions. The first is on the cash. You have a lot of cash. The question is really what you are going to do with this, and if we can expect some kind of cash return to shareholder at the end of the year in the form of special dividend or share buyback. And the second is on the chaîne compensatoire. You see, I don't say anymore bonus channel. If you can comment on the latest on the regulation, if there have been some changes on the calendar, possibly of the French Parliament, and finally on advertising. How can you explain really the discrepancies of performance about between you and M6 in the first quarter, given that M6 is going to was very positive? It's something that is related to some calendar effect, or I mean, we have to see this kind of discrepancy for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Well, on the first question, yes, we have a strong financial structure. We have some cash, but for the moment, and due to the global economic environment, there is no change or no change in our dividend policy. So I remind you that that during the last 2 years, there has been 80% cash which has been paid on net results. 80% cash on net results. But it's too early to say anything more than that, and there is no change in the dividend policy to date. Concerning the Canal Compensatoire, there's been a lot of discussion and press articles and so on around this issue. There has not been any change in the regulation or legal environment at date. There are discussion, and of course we are still, which is still an issue pending for the government, according to the present regulation. The canaux compensatoires should be attributed by the end of this year and are still under the present regulation linked with a switch-off, which will occur next November. Concerning the advertising difference, the discrepancy between TF1 and M6, I would say that they, of course, benefit during the first quarter of a very different basis of comparison. I remind you that we had plus 13% during the first quarter last year when they had plus 2% during the first quarter. So we have to take into account in the kind of volatility of the advertising market on the TV in France, to take into account those moves. And that is one of the reasons of the discrepancy during the first quarter. They probably have been more aggressive in terms of programming during the first 3 months of this year than we have been, at least as compared to last year. As you know, we had, for instance, U.S. series, which is where broadcast from February last year, starting in February, with stuff like Dr. House, for instance, or The Mentalist last year, and we started to have those strong program in April, and mid-April for the same program. So they were probably more aggressive. But as we've said, we adjust to the advertising market the investment we're doing in the grid. I would say the explanation for this first quarter, and that will is not on a recurrent basis.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Laurie Davison from Deutsche Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here from Deutsche. First question is what, in terms of the year-on-year savings in programming, what amount would you describe as recurring savings? You've previously given a breakdown of recurring and non-recurring savings. That would be useful. The second question is I just missed the size of the one-off gain in your tax charge from the disposal of SPS. Could you just repeat that? And the third question is in terms of the weakness you've seen in April audience share, what are you doing to address that and when should we see the benefits? Thank you.
Yes, good evening, Gloria. I'm not sure I got your third question. Can you repeat your third question?
The third question.
Mm-hmm.
The third question was in terms of the audience share, what are you doing to address the weakness that you've seen in April and when should we see the benefits?
Well, on this specific issue, I can say that we have taken the first decision in terms of reorganization. Now, the broadcasting and the program of all channels are under the same responsibility of the same manager, who is Jean-François Lancelier. He is now in charge of broadcasting on the core channel, broadcasting on the other channels of the group, as well as on programming. All the program of those channels. So that, as a consequence of this, that makes things easier in terms of responsibility and in terms of decision-making process. That's one. Second, we have reacted in this stopping program, which is Carré VIP, as you know, after 2 weeks, and we have taken decision as well to shorten others' program like Famille d'Explorateur, which were broadcast less during a period which was less long than what we had initially forecast. So we adapt and we have to react, which is now basically the global environment, in order to react in a more competitive market. And the organization and the responsibility has been reviewed in order to make things easier in terms of capacity to react. So that has been done, and that is also has given some positive consequence. Audience during the last week or the last 2 weeks, and especially during the last few days, have improved quite significantly, and there has been some change in the global organization in order to optimize it. Now, on the two other questions, so the second question is on SPS, and there is an operating loss of €11 million that is for the first quarter. On the net result, we have a tax credit of around €13 million, which is based on the income tax expenses line, which is basically the consequence of the cumulative losses we had on this, and the benefit we have on the fiscal position of the company of the group. On the last issue is
recurring savings.
We will not break down on as I said it end of last year and even in February. where this year we will not break down on a quarterly basis recurring savings. What I can say is that the recurrent savings on the grid is mainly linked with sports and the French football team. Other savings are linked with optimization of the grid, but this is not a recurrent basis, I would say. It's due to the specificity of the first quarter. So we are talking about some non-recurrent, good part of it are non-recurrent savings out of those 17 million euro savings for the first quarter.
Is it possible just to give us the sort of the seasonal specificity that you mentioned?
Yeah, the seasonal specificity is linked with the advertising market. So what we've done the 2 years before during summer, we are applying it as well for January, February, where we have a market which is a bit weak as compared to other months of the year. And what we have said is that the intention was not to invest too much when or to optimize and find, if possible, cost savings when the advertising market, like in January, February, is not very very good at a level which is the normal one we have during the other month. So that's what we have applied for the grid. And that's what I call seasonality trend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Matthew Walker from Nomura. Sir, please go ahead.
Thanks so much. Two questions. First one's on Eurosport and particularly international broadcasting. You had a benefit in Q1 from non-recurrence of programming costs. Could you give us a feel for the full year about the EBIT uplift that's likely, and whether you think that's sustainable, you know, basically the EBIT uplift because of non-recurrence of costs that you had in 2010. And then on theme channels, could you give us a bit of guidance on theme channels in aggregate for revenue and EBIT for this year?
I will not give guidance on revenues for theme channel at this stage, but again, they have been performing quite well during the first quarter, and that is linked with TMC and T1, but there are no more, or the volatility and on the market is the same for on the TV market, on the advertising market is the same than for TF1. What I can say is that in terms of consolidation, impact of the consolidation of TMC and T1 for the global consolidated revenue, that will have an impact of 40 million euro for the whole year, because as you know, we will have an impact during the first half year. We won't have impact anymore as basis of comparison during the second half of the year. So the impact during the first half year 2011 will be 40 million euro in terms of consolidated revenues for the group. Now the other question was Christine. The other question was the EBIT.
I'm sorry, Matthew, but we don't give any guidance on the EBITDA of Eurosport for 2011.
Well, just on Q1 then, in the sense of, can you just explain in international broadcasting whether you regard the uplift in EBIT as an organic thing, or is that something which is a one-off, which is related to costs not recurring, and therefore we're not likely to see the same uplift?
On a quarterly basis and for the first quarter, yes, it's a one-off. It's really it's linked with a special situation and due to special events which were on the grid, which were the Olympic Games, as I mentioned, and the Africa Cup of Nations, which has been, of course, investments which have been done last year. This year we didn't have any very big events during the first quarter, so you should take the results of international broadcasting as a one-off for the Q1. Now, in terms of global profitability for this business, we had a very good profitability last year, and we've said that that was not the recurrent profitability, even if we can expect from them a level of profitability which is in line with the activity and the benefit of what has been what has been done in terms of strategy, both in terms of geographical diversification and additional channels, which are now launched. Eurosport 2 is performing very well, and the growth in subscriber in specific part of the world is quite progressing.
And just a quick follow-up on the bonus channel. When do you anticipate that to be available to you to launch? Probably not 2011. Do you think it'll be 2012, or do you think it'll be later? Where are we with the bonus channel?
Well, we're talking about compensation channel, not bonus, but that's wording. Nevertheless, I would say that in the regulation there is no specific change, so we are still on the agenda. We're still on the timing, which is end of this year. Now, what we can say is that the issue is also linked with the European environment, legal environment, and as you know, there has been some discussion with the European community on the legal frame of those compensatory channels. So that could delay the process, now the issue is on the government side, and well, that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a last question from Mr. Julien Roch from Barclays. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Philippe, Christine, Edouard, and Deborah. Three questions. First, I apologize, it's on advertising. So you say that April is seeing the same trend as Q1, which would indicate minus 2 to 3 on a net basis. But you also told Connor that the gross and the net should be closer to one another in Q2, and gross in April was down 5.5%, which would indicate 5 to 6% down on a net basis. So my first question is, are we closer to 2 to 3 or 5 to 6? The second question is on SPS. So there was operating losses of minus 11 and an exceptional of taxes of 13 million. Now that you sold it, would it be possible to have the full year impact at every line, i.e. operating profit, taxes, and whether there's something else? That is my second question. And then the third question is on cost cutting. We spend a lot of time talking about the phasing of programming, but we haven't talked about cost cutting outside of programming. You said you wouldn't give a guidance on a quarterly basis, but I was wondering if you could give us a guidance for full year or 11 on cost cutting outside of programming. Merci.
Okay. Well, thank you, Julien, for your questions. Now, on the first question, I would say that Q2 will be closer to gross will be closer to net. Yes, I confirm. In April, yes, I confirm that net is will be higher than gross as a consequence of what I said in terms of trend comparable to the first quarter. Now, concerning the 13 million fiscal
your impact on it.
the full-year impact of SPS, I would say that the full-year impact of SPS is what we had in Q1 because it has been sold and we won't have any additional impact on the full year. So it's basically minus 11 on the EBIT and minus plus 13 as a consequence of the fiscal position for the net results.
Because I thought you sold it only a couple of days ago, so there's no impact in April.
No impact in April. We've sold it on the 2nd of May.
Okay.
But there will be no impact in April. It's already been taken in our accounting post 31st of March, but before the cutting. Now concerning cost saving. What we can say is that apart from the programming, we are still progressing, continuing what has been put in place during the last 2-3 years. So negotiation, as I said, of contract and are ongoing. So we will go on with savings on other expenses and costs. What I can say is that basically during the first quarter, as you have seen, the costs apart from the grid are stable, even if we had the integration of costs of TMC and T1, as we have integrated TMC and T1 both on revenues and costs. So we could compensate this through savings which have been achieved during the same period of time. And we had a growth in revenue of 2% for diversification on a year-to-year basis without or taking into account the same perimeter. With a stable level of costs, improving so the profitability.
So, if you're saying that the cost ex programming was more or less flat, it was actually down 7 million, despite the increase of 17 million from TMT and T1. Is that a reasonable assumption to go for about 20 million of cost savings on X programming for 011?
Even to you, I wouldn't say and wouldn't give any guidance, Julien, but it will be less than last year because we are a long-time system and we will make some recurrent savings on a continuing basis for this year as well. So what I can say today, it should be less than last year.
Can you remind us how much was it last year?
13.
13. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I don't know if there's any more questions. So maybe thank you to all of you for joining us, and good evening. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.